right, my loves, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. We will have second to none election coverage tomorrow night here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll have so many people working that I don't even think I can name them all and keep everybody straight. But David Bellavia, Joe Beamer will be at the anchor desk, and reporters out in the field. And I've actually offered to come in to answer the phones and get people coffee, because election night madness at a radio station is election night madness at a radio station. But anyway, so good to have you with us. And, you know, this whole talk radio thing is fun. A lot sometimes. All right, a lot. It's a lot of fun, usually, because you guys come up with things that I didn't plan on doing, but all right, if that's what you want to do, that's what we're going to do. David Bellavia, earlier today, prior to my nappy time, I did not bring out the little kindergarten nappy rug and put it on the floor. That I did not do. But he was talking about the curse of Buffalo after the Cincinnati Bengals game last night and the fact that the Bills have never won a Super Bowl. Do you believe in curses? Do you believe in hexes? And joining us now, we have Colonel in North Amherst. And Colonel, just a couple of things. Number one, and we did get into this during the ghost show we did right around Halloween, a few days before. I swear that if you show me a piece of property in Western New York, you're going to find somebody who's going to say, well, that was Indian burial ground. Growing up where I grew up in Marvin Gardens area of the town of Tonawanda, we had kids in the neighborhood who would always say, well, this is Indian burial ground. It's haunted. That was not Indian burial. It wasn't even close to Indian burial ground. Or if you prefer,
well,
first.
I get that, Tommy boy. But let's see. Did you have any of your homies do any research on this blue coat, red coat?
Yes, actually, it was Red Jacket. And Red Jacket, you had said Red Jacket was buried originally where the stadium was located.
The story that I heard, yes.
But that's not true.
That
story, my friend, is not true. Red Jacket, before he was buried at Forest Lawn, and they've got a beautiful monument to Red Jacket at Forest Lawn, he was actually buried in South Buffalo. And I don't mean Orchard Park, South Buffalo. I mean South Buffalo, South Buffalo.
Yeah, I get you. It's kind of all the same if you're from that area.
Unfortunately, Yellow Jacket had some issues with alcoholism toward the end of his life. But he was originally buried. I'm trying to get the exact name. He was buried in a legitimate Indian cemetery, which is now within the Seneca Indian Park in South Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
so he was
you could
not...
say, I guess there's burial grounds everywhere.
Aren't. But you know what, my dear friend, there aren't Indian burial grounds everywhere any more than today. There are cemeteries.
Anyone can say whatever they want about it. You know what? When my mom was a young child, it wouldn't be abnormal if someone in the house had a miscarriage and they buried their little baby in the backyard. Have you ever heard that?
Well, of course, because in the old days before we had funeral homes and wakes and crematoria, in the old days, people did do their funeral services and the laying out, if you will, at their own homes. And sometimes in the early pioneer days of Western New York, what would happen is if you had a neighbor who had a family burial plot in the backyard. Hopefully you got along well with your neighbor, because you'd go to your neighbors and say, hey, my son just died. Could we have some of your land so that we can bury my son in a proper place? There are a number of private cemeteries throughout New York State. In fact, a new law just went on the books, I believe, on September 1st, dealing with the governance and maintenance of these privately held burial plots. I forget the name of the law exactly, but the goal was to preserve, protect, and defend these private family burial plots throughout Western New York. In fact, there is a historical... you ever heard of a guy... You ever heard of a place called Williamsville?
Yes, I have.
Well, the, believe it or not, the founder... the founder of Williamsville was a guy,
but I'm just saying.
Well, no, the founder of Williamsville was a guy by the name of Jonas Williams. And do you know that Jonas Williams was originally buried in a family burial plot at the property he owned? I know exactly where it was, in the village of Williamsville. Now, I'll tell you something about, and this all ties together, and I'm going to tell you a little something that I've been meaning to tell you guys for a while. I put together an archaeological team consisting of experts from UB, consisting of metal detector experts, local history experts, et cetera, et cetera. And we did all of the protocol exactly as they were supposed to be done. We had some great people step forward who had ground-penetrating radar. We actually... found, or so we...
You said
so we,
penetrating. I'm sorry.
I did say penetrating, yes.
yes. Carry on, my friend.
Yes, you definitely are a Kenmore East lad, aren't you? We put together a team of experts, and we actually hit what we reasonably believe to be four graves. They were laid out in the proper orientation, east-west. And the problem is, after extensive archaeological investigation done by people who are trained archaeologists, despite the early evidence, there were no graves on that property. So what I'm trying to get to here is the idea that in Western New York, if you have, if you live in somebody's old homestead from the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, there is a possibility that there were family burials that had taken place on that property. In fact, if you drive around in the country, and I'm sure you have on more than one occasion, you know, you'll see sure. that sometimes in people's backyard, they've got maybe 5-6 headstones that are set up.
Yeah. Yeah, I find, you know, some cemeteries pretty interesting as far as Forest Lawn goes. I mean, come on. They buried my buddy's dad from, he was in the Korean War. He's there, you know.
Oh, Forest Lawn is an absolute gem in Western New York. Forest Lawn is one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the entire Northeast, if not the entire United States. The point I'm trying to make is that there were, in fact, a lot of private burial grounds here in Western New York, which was, remember, called the Niagara Frontier. We were the Wild West way back in the 18-teens and 1820s. We were the Wild West. We were also ground zero for the War of 1812.
Yep. And the Buffalo never made it all the way to Buffalo, but they were not far.
Yeah, we did. As far as I know, in recorded history, there were no American bison who were walking around Western New York. But I hope that some of your concerns have been addressed there, as far as the possible interference of spectral.
Yeah, as far as the bill, yeah. Well, my friend that told me all about this, his name is Oz. So I guess you could take it from there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? Somebody's last name need not be an accurate description of somebody in the real world. You know, in German, for example, my last name translates to endowed like a horse, which is clearly not the case. So I thought I'd bring this full circle to the whole swimming naked thing at Kenmore East.
Oh, please do. Kenmore East, no, only in Franklin I had to swim naked.
Oh, really? Well, we had to do it at Franklin and Kenmore East. And, and now, I don't know, now you pay for the pleasure.
That's when I saw what not being circumcised looked like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's end the phone call. And at this point, I guess I'll have to cut the conversation. But thank you. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Hey, Tommy. Hey, yeah. God bless you. I'll see you around.
We go from circumcision to a benediction. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Yeah. What's his name? Rick Johnson says hi, too.
Good man. Guitar player for the Chicago Authority, which recently played their last gig. Thank you kindly. I appreciate the call. Colonel. And for those who don't know of what we speak, it may be better that you don't know of what we speak. But believe it or not, folks, and yes, we've done shows on this. Back in the old days, Kenmore, Town of Tonawanda Public Schools, we did swim naked. People do not believe me when I say that today, but it actually happened. I know. I was there. I was hanging out. Well, what I mean to say is I was there. I was present. And, we swam naked. It's 4:20 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you on the radio. Came up during David's show in light of the Cincinnati game last night. Do you believe in curses? Do you believe in hexes? And I'll walk you through the story after the news break, but I've had some people on hold, and I don't like to keep people on hold any longer than necessary. Here's Darlene in South Buffalo. Darlene, you are on WBEN, my love. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. I just called in to say I live right around the corner where Red Jacket was buried. There's like a small cemetery over here, and it's on the corner of Fields and Indian Church Road in South Buffalo. They have moved the body, but that cemetery is still maintained by the Larkin family, which,
oh, really?
You know, owns Larkinville and all of that. But when we were little kids, when we would walk to school, we would always walk through the cemetery. There's big stones there. The biggest stone, of course, is for Red Jacket. And then there were a couple other Indians, but not chiefs, also buried there.
You know what? I'd actually like to get over to that cemetery at some point, if you would. I love cemeteries. Cemeteries are, to me, fascinating places, and they give you a real fascinating insight into what things were like here in Western New York back in the 18-teens and 20s and 30s. And, when my ex-wife and I lived in St. Charles, Missouri, we used to take drives to the west, and we'll never forget some of these ancient church buildings which had the graveyards in them. Some of the engravings on the stones were so loving and so poignant and so poetic that they were simply beautiful. They don't write them, with all due respect to Greg Keane, they don't write him like that anymore. I mean, I remember seeing a headstone of a guy's wife where he basically went on and on about how much he loved his wife, how much he was going to miss his wife. And I wish we'd had cell phones back then, because I've often wanted to go back and take a picture of it. But frankly, I don't know if I could find it.
Yeah. Well, this cemetery was like a really big deal in South Buffalo. Like all the grammar schools, we would have, field trips there to go look at it. Because I guess Red Jacket was like a big chief around here.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Tom.
Oh, my dear, I thought you had more to say. I wasn't trying to cut you off. All right. Thank you, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yep. No, I absolutely was not trying to cut her off, and I'm sorry if that seemed to be the case, but I really wasn't. I hope she's not mad at me. But anyway, yeah, I would like to go to that cemetery, but you can learn so much by walking through cemeteries. Forest Lawn is just one learning experience after another, and you get to, how many of you, have you been to Tombstone, Arizona? How many of you have been to Tombstone? Well, they've got a cemetery right outside the main part of Tombstone, Boot Hill, oddly enough, and the stories behind the occupants of Boot Hill and how they met their various demises are so fascinating, really incredible. And one of the things that turns me on about history and learning about this stuff is the idea that when it comes to what motivates human beings, love, sex, power, money, not a lot has changed in the last 150, 170 years. People are people. 27 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you, my loves, and sorry we don't have a better sports day to discuss, but that's okay because we generally don't do a sports radio show, which is good because I would definitely not be very good at that. Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. I see what Tanner's doing, bringing out a little bit of summertime music. I'm on to you, Tanner. It's all good, buddy. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner Saunders just does a tremendous job for us. And, of course, tomorrow evening we will have full election coverage for you on News Radio 930 WBEN and WBEN. We will be on the air with full live election night coverage tomorrow evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We'll have a hardline replay of the Poland Cars and Casilio appearances 9 p.m. until we have a winner in the Erie County executive race. Tom Puckett, Joe Beamer, David Bellavia, and the WBEN news team will be live with the results, the speeches, the analysis, etc. And I might even come in just to get the guys some coffee. I mean, I don't need to be on the air to be of some help because you know, things get a little bit hairy on of course after the ad we just ran, but things tend to get a little bit wild on election night coverage. So you know, I might come in and irritate the boys. It's just my job in life. Irritate Joe, irritate David, you know, things like that. Anyway, welcome to the program. What we've been doing, and you know what? Sometimes, guys, I had the entire program laid out for today's wonderful 2 until 6 thing. And if you weren't listening early on, I'm rather embarrassed. But if I didn't think it was somewhat entertaining to you guys, I would try to hide it immediately. But we had the change of clocks yesterday. And, my clock is still the same. The time isn't what it should be. But in any event, true story, yesterday I went for my usual lunch where I usually go on a Sunday. And I literally had one drink. This was not some alcohol situation, far from it. I was seated at the establishment, and I don't know what happened. I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, Jack the bartender had his hand around my arm saying, "Hey, Tom, are you okay?" I'm like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. Did I really just fall asleep in public? You got to be kidding me." And then last night, I happened to run into Mike and Mandy from MJ and The Way, except The Way was not there. They were also, "Hey, Tom, yo, are you awake?" Like, "Oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me." So it was twice in one day. And I don't do that. I'm usually just bursting with energy. But the highlight, the highlight today, and this, by the way, would make a great show topic. I don't care what anybody says. The highlight today, you know, I have told you guys this before. I enjoy listening to Joe Beamer. I enjoy listening to David Bellavia. And I try not to listen too much, though, before I go on the air, because I don't want to rip off their stuff. And I don't want their take to become my take because I'm too lazy to come up with my own. So I'm sitting there and I had lunch. And again, there was like, all I was drinking was ginger ale. And I just feel like the need to tell you that because if you've seen me out, you know that I rather enjoy my tequila when I'm out, but not before a show. So anyway, I was eating soup with a spoon, not with my fingers. And I don't know exactly what awakened me. I think it was our news intro at 2 o'clock. And have you ever had that feeling of absolute panic where you believe you may have totally missed work and overslept? That is kind of the feeling I had at about 2 o'clock today. So I'm usually here with the equipment on and everything properly tested and everything properly worked out, any bugs taken care of. And I got to laugh about it, because if I don't laugh, what fun is there in life? So anyway, so I quickly got up out of my seat, realizing that I had a number of things I had to do, even though I knew or thought I knew the topics I was going to be covering today. I have to laugh about this stuff, folks. Come on, I've been doing this for a long time, and you realize that, hey, nobody's going to die if I'm 2 minutes late. So anyway, the WBEN news sound wakes me up, the little sound effect we play there. I drop my spoon into the soup, and I immediately, have you ever had that feeling of panic? Like, you've got to be kidding me. Immediately, I'm texting Tim Wenger saying, Tim, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I literally fell asleep in the kitchen. True story. But he was totally cool about it. I mean, he knows these things happen. And just that led us into talking about the changing of the clocks, of which I'm not a big fan, like you. And I think like most human beings, I tend to be a creature of habit and a creature of routine. Do you as well? You know, it's good to have some spontaneous things happen in your life, right? We all like spontaneity and things that aren't planned that turn out to be a lot of fun. I certainly respect that. I think you probably do as well. but at the same time, it is embarrassing as all get out. It truly is. And I'm sorry, but it's just the chain of events that happened in the last 36 hours or however long it's been since the clocks changed have been very, very funny. Because I don't like falling asleep in public. I mean, you drool. Did I ever tell you this? Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I think I might have mentioned this last week. If not on the air, certainly to some friends off the air. again, don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when you when you're on a flight, do you ever find that you drink things you ordinarily would not drink, but for whatever reason, on a flight, they taste really good? I'll give an example, tomato juice. Folks, tomato juice is not in my house at present. In fact, tomato juice is very rarely in my house at present. But for some strange reason, if I'm in an airplane, I crave tomato juice. Now, is it the salt? I have no idea. But I was so tired because it had been a very long, sleepless week in Jamaica a few years ago. And I ordered my tomato juice. Well, that was a mistake. And I'll tell you why it was a mistake. We're flying on this twin prop from, I think it was Philadelphia to Buffalo. And yeah, you guessed it already. You're already ahead of me on this one. Literally fell asleep with a full glass, plastic cup actually, of tomato juice in my hand. And something happened. I think we might have hit a pocket of turbulence or whatever. But I squeezed. Well, you know, it's a reflexive action. I squeezed the plastic cup of tomato juice, and it went all over. And all I could think of was somebody is going to be sitting in this seat after I on the return flight, and they are going to hate me, especially if they're wearing a light color. So not wanting to cause anybody distress or discomfort, I flagged down the flight attendant and said, hey, I just did something really stupid, and out of courtesy and consideration for the next person to sit in this chair, do you think that maybe I could have some towels or something just to sop up as much of this tomato juice as possible? And the people on the airline were very, very nice. They were very, very friendly, and they accommodated me. Of course they would, because it was one less thing they had to do when they were setting the plane up for the return leg of the flight. But you have not lived, my dear friend, you have not lived until you literally have squeezed tomato juice all over your clothes. I mean, it looked like, Siri, it looked like frame 313 of the Zapruder film. I mean, too soon. But it was one of those embarrassing things. Anyway, welcome to the show. Just embarrassing things that happen to you when you travel, right? And, oh, come on, if you traveled enough, who doesn't have an embarrassing story about, let me be very delicate about this, about lower GI issues? When you travel, it happens. For whatever reason, your system gets out of sync. You might have had some bad food. There might have been some bacterial contamination, maybe a virus, whatever it happens to be. And and lo and behold, you end up with, Montezuma's revenge, otherwise known as lower GI issues. And, fortunately, that was not the case. But, hey, it could have been a lot worse. I'm sure you've had experiences traveling that have been a lot worse than that. For example, anytime you go to Newark International, it's going to be a bad experience. I assure you that from previous experiences. It is coming up on 4:48 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So many things to get into. We have been talking a little bit about hexes and curses, and we had a caller earlier who believes that the Buffalo Bills are not going to win a Super Bowl because of a hex that was placed on the Buffalo Bills. Now, that individual's theory was that a long-ago GM of the Buffalo Bills promised the people of Fredonia that they'd be back every year in Fredonia for training camp, and apparently that didn't happen. I remember when the Buffalo Bills used to work out at Niagara University. You guys remember that? Do you guys remember being little kids and your parents maybe would take you up to Niagara University, and then mom would get bored watching the players, so you'd walk over to the Power Authority and take a tour of the amazing world of electricity? Yeah, we did that all the time. But that's how far back I go. Niagara University, they used to have the Buffalo Bills training camp. And by the way, this whole St. John Fisher thing, it's really brilliant marketing, because what you do is you automatically expand your fan base during the preseason from Buffalo and Western New York to Rochester and more the Finger Lakes kind of area. So it's really good marketing move, frankly, by the Buffalo Bills. But we have some things that, if you've got any last thoughts on whether you believe in hexes or anything like that, that's fine. I don't know that I believe in hexes, because it just doesn't seem rational to me. It doesn't seem logical to me that somebody would put a hex on a football team or any other kind of a sports situation. Pardon me, I have the hiccup suddenly. So, not particularly a big believer in hexes, but some of you are, and you're certainly entitled to your beliefs. And, I had this conversation with my daughter last week, but if you've got snow tires, this is probably a good time to think about getting yourself in the schedule to swap out your snow tires, to swap out your summer tires for the snow tires, because once the snow hits, okay, it's not going to stop until July, but once the snow hits, you will be very grateful that you did it, and you get the right kind of snow tires on whatever vehicle you are driving, and you're going to be very, very happy. So definitely I'd think about making that appointment to swap out the snow tires, and I would also go looking for your snow brush, because I don't know, Tim Wenger's like one of the most organized people I've ever met in my life, okay? He knows where everything is at any given time, and I think Tim, as I recall, he may be one of those people, such as myself, every year, here's what happens. I don't know if you can relate to this, but every year you think you know where your snow brush is. You look for your snow brush, and it's not where you thought it was. So what do? What any other Western New Yorker would do, you go to the gas station, you go to the store at the corner, and you buy yourself a brand new snow brush. Upon returning home, you walk into the basement, and you realize, it wasn't in the garage, it was in the basement. And then before you know it, you've got a collection of snow brushes that go back to 1952. These things happen in life. I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it, whatever. Coming up on WBEN, do you guys want to talk a little bit about the race that is going to get you to the polls tomorrow? Obviously, the big one in Erie County is the Erie County executive race, but are you going to vote tomorrow? If so, what race is getting you to the polls, number one? And if you're not going to vote, how come? Have you just given up on voting as a viable way to achieve change in our lives? Just curious. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN.